Welcome back to Zillennial Canon. I'm Kira.
And I'm Adam, and well, Happy New Year, Kira, first of all, because...
Happy New Year.
This is the first one that we've done, and is this... I mean, no New Year's Eve this year. We didn't watch New Year's Eve, thank God, much to your dismay. We did not watch the Gary Marshall classic again, but I don't know. I had a good New
Year. Maybe next year. Maybe next year we'll watch it again. Yeah.
Honestly, the more years that pass that we don't watch it, the more okay I am with the prospect of possibly, maybe, being the type of person in the world that has seen that movie more than once. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but, you know, if I can cover Cat in the Hat 4 times, what's 2 times for New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
But
how's your New Year's?
It was pretty low key. I mean, I did spend it with friends of the pod, like the We Bought a Mic friends, you know, Ernest and Drew and Hunter, frequent guests. We're frequent guests on their pod. They come on ours. So that was fun. And yeah, otherwise pretty low key. I think we both saw a lot of good movies last year, and kind of trying to catch up still in the new year. And yeah. I will say, Kira, I didn't tell you this, but I did. I kind of cleaned up the spreadsheet that I use for the pod, for the poll list, and it is a little bit neater now. I did kind of organize it in order of like priority, almost, of things like blind spots, because we always talk about like how have we not covered this in the 4 years that we've done the pod. And I kind of have like a chain of command now, I feel like, of like things that I feel it's actually insane that we haven't even talked about doing this yet. So that has been a new year thing that I did.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're very like on top of the podcast. Like I am not.
I try to be. I try to, I don't know. I think of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our listeners are very important to us, and I hope they all had a happy new year.
Me too. Especially you, listening to this.
Thank you.
Well, you too, I guess. But
thank you. I went to see Billy Joel on New Year's Eve. That was how I rang in the new year.
Well, that's spectacular.
That was fun.
That sounds
likely
great.
Place for me to be.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. It was funny, Victoria was like, do you think, is Kira sing Billy Joel? I'm like, I literally said that. I'm like, likely place for her to be. But we are this week covering a bona fide classic. This is a true Zillennial moment. And honestly, truly, what better time to do it with the impending
doom.
Well, the impending musical reboot, because it's like the same story, right? I don't really know a lot about it. It's the same thing, like
So it's the same thing. It's just basically, so the movie was adapted into a musical in the 2010s. And then the new movie is adapting the musical. However, it is confusing a lot of people because they are not marketing it as a fucking musical. They are marketing it as a shot-for-shot remake of the 2004 film.
It reminds me, I saw a tweet like in December, and it was like, well, the original tweet was like, you know, survey says that, or like insiders say that, studios are purposefully mismarketing musicals because studies show that audiences hate musicals. And then the quote retweet was like, audiences historically hate musicals, but, or no, the audiences hate musicals, but historically love being tricked.
When we went to go see Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
When we went to go see Wonka, like 2 seconds into it, friend of the pod, Aaron, turned to me and said, this is a musical. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I when I saw Wonka, it was like pretty chill in there. But at the beginning, I could hear these girls at the top row go like, "What the fuck?" Like, because I don't think they really were prepared for that. But then again, a point that I didn't remember about that was that every Willy Wonka has been a musical. So, you know, there's that, I guess. But I don't know. I welcome it. I like musicals, so I'm down for it. I don't really know anything about the musical. Like, I haven't heard any of the songs, so we'll see. I'm seeing it tomorrow. I'm going in open-minded because I don't really have any. I mean, my only frame of reference is the fact that I've seen this movie. Like, that's all I really have, Mean Girls wise. Like, I've never seen the original musical. I haven't really kept up with like the Tina Fey of it all, because it seems like she's keeping the quote unquote franchise alive. I never saw that ABC Family sequel that came out. I feel like that and Legally Blondes would be a good double feature.
That should be our next episode. I was going to say our next, like, drunk episode, but, like, I don't drink anymore. And then it's like, we're not going to get, like, vaccinated again, so we can't have, like, a B-movie episode.
I'll just pass you the blunt.
I think we just have to do it. We just have to do it.
Wait, which one? Mean Girls 2 or Legally Blondes?
Both of them.
Both of them?
In the same episode. Geez. Yeah.
Jesus.
That'd be fun. Maybe for, like, April Fool's Day or something.
Maybe. I mean, that's a... God, I don't know. I haven't seen either, so I can't. For all I know, they're great movies, but I'm willing to bet they're not. I mean, I haven't seen the... we could make it a triple feature and do the Cinderella story, too.
Another Cinderella story?
Another Cinderella story. Isn't that Selena Gomez?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, actually. I liked that when I was younger.
Oh, okay. All right. See, that's what I'm saying. But
there's a third one, though. So we could do the third one.
Okay. All right. I'm forming an army.
I think it's like Lucy Hale, the third one.
A likely place for her to be. So, Kira, since we're covering the OG Mean Girls today, what is your, like, history and memories with this classic?
So my memories is watching it on ABC Family. I think I have literally only watched this movie on ABC Family, and I think this is the only time that I have intentionally sat down and put it on. Like, it wasn't just, like, me sitting and watching it on ABC Family.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Like, it was very strange for me to be like, I'm going to put on Mean Girls right now.
Right.
Also, like, I remember, like... I saw this when I was maybe in, like, middle school for the first time, and it was before everyone was, like, quoting it. Like, I was just kind of, like, I always saw Lindsay Lohan as, like, oh, she acts in movies that are for, like, my age. Like, I always thought, like, oh, like, tween. Like, I can watch anything that she's in. And so I just, like, was like, oh, this is on ABC Family, I'm gonna watch it. And I think my mom liked it, like, before I even saw it, and I'm confused as to, like, where and why she watched this.
Right.
But so I remember I was watching this with her, I think, and there was a commercial break, and, like, right after the commercial break, it was like the scene when he was like, don't have sex because you will get pregnant and die. And I just got, like, really scared that I would, like, get in trouble for watching it. Like, I just have, like, a vivid memory of that. But yeah, I mean we'll talk about its legacy, I'm sure, after, but do you remember the first time you saw this?
Yeah, because I was it was a little different for me. I kind of went decently late in life without seeing this movie, surprisingly. I didn't see it. I don't know the exact year or age that I finally saw it, but it was somewhere in the Tumblr era for me. I never saw this as a kid. I, of course, like, knew of it. Like, it was very obviously popular in the 2000s. But, you know, like, so were, like, a lot of, like, not to call this a girl movie, but, like, you know what I mean. In my 10-year-old boy brain. There were girl movies and there were boy movies, as I've said before on the pod. And I was definitely in that category for me, where I knew of its existence, didn't really register the fact that I might like it at a young age. Uh-huh. And I just always knew about it. And then, I don't know, something about, and this is something we really often talk about in the pod, is like the Tumblr gifs of it, like the Tumblr screenshots, the Tumblr everything, even just like, honestly, they like made it like very aesthetic. Like there were like just like costume posts about this movie, like, you know, like just like kind of like glamorizing Regina George. And just before I even saw it, I just felt like I saw so much of it on Tumblr, to the point of where I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch the fucking movie, like, you know. Mm-hmm. I loved it, you know, when I watched it. I want to say I was like 16. That sounds about right. Like I was probably like 16, 17 when I first saw it. And I don't know. I really loved it. I mean, there's not like a lot to say as far as that goes, because I had the same opinion that I think every teenager had when they saw this for the first time, which is that it's super funny. It is pretty relatable to an extent. I mean, it's very obviously elevated by style and like humor, but it is like kind of honestly a perfect high school comedy. Like there's not much with it that I can like, even upon a rewatch, like as an adult, like I can't really critique it. I think the screenplay is like absolutely aces. Like it's like, so fucking perfect. Funny. It's literally incredible. And just like the pacing of it is like genuinely insane. Like it's like one of the quickest movies ever, because it's like what, barely an hour 40, barely 90 or something, and it moves so mm-hmm. fast. You cover like an entire year of school. It's really, it reminds me of Lady Bird in that way, where Lady Bird is also like a super short movie, but it covers like a whole year of somebody's life.
Uh-huh.
And it's, yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. I don't know. I love.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the legacy of it all, like, it does hold up perfectly, I think. Mm-hmm. The thing is with Mean Girls is, I feel like we talked about this with Elf, where it's so over-marketed, so oversaturated, everyone quotes it, and you almost want to, like, avoid it. Mm-hmm. But then when you return to it, like, personally, whenever I watch this movie, which Letterboxd said that I haven't watched this since 2016, I do not believe that. I absolutely do not believe that. But it's the kind of thing where, like, when I watch it, I'm like, literally, all of the lines that are not, like, overly quoted are the funniest lines I've ever heard in a movie. Like,
yeah.
Anything that Tim Meadows says, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Him talking about his nephew Anfernee, I was literally fucking crying.
That's really good.
When he says, "My carpal tunnel came back," I literally, like, it's just like, or like, "Danny DeVito, I love your work." Like, nobody ever quotes these lines, and they're the funniest things I've ever heard in a movie in my whole life. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's some, like, all-time bits in this movie. And even, like, I mean, like you're saying, like, aside from, like, the, like, you know, the "boo you whore," like, all that, and which is still funny, yeah. I would say. Like, all the quotable stuff is still funny, but it is compiled with the fact that, like, the joke-to-minute ratio of this movie is pretty insane, I think that's my biggest metric with comedies, is like, because movies can like have a lot of funny moments, but like the joke to minute ratio, because like a lot of comedies, I feel, especially like modern comedies, they have an issue with like pacing, and they can be a little bit overlong, and not in an Apatow way. Like I've seen like a 2 hour and 10 minute Apatow comedy that flows better than an hour and 50 minute studio comedy, if that makes sense. And that's why when I revisit classics like this, which are like, what, like 95 minutes, I would say, it flows so perfectly. There's not like a minute wasted. There's just like no dead air. It's honestly astounding. The like just the commitment to the craft, and it's just so confident in itself that it truly blows me away every time I watch it. Like, I think both from a directorial standpoint, editing standpoint, writing standpoint, like, this is how you make a studio comedy. It truly is. And there's a reason why it stands test of the time. Because, like, yes, it's very marketable and it's very, like, you know, inherently sellable, but it's not just that, because it's just genuinely that good of a movie, you know? Like, it really holds up.
Yeah. What you were saying about, like, the jokes, like, how many just, like, good jokes there are, I think it's also, like, I feel like it just feels very, like, natural. Like, I feel like there's almost, like, a spectrum of, like, normal people to Diablo Cody writing.
Right.
And I feel like this fits, like, directly in the middle as a person who is obsessed with Diablo Cody. I think that every character is so themselves. Like, it's not like they're just saying stuff just to say stuff. Like, even if it's just, like, a background character, like, when they're, like, going around to, like, the girls in the school, and it's like, one time she punched me in the face, it was awesome. Like, the random girls that they, like, find, like, first of all, the casting of all the extras, I don't know why I'm, like, obsessed with it. It's, like, the most, random selection of, like, girls that you've ever seen in your life. But everything that they're saying, like, fits so well with, like, what they look like, how they're dressed, like, and it feels very, like, genuine.
Yeah.
And nothing in this movie feels, like, forced in any way. No. And also, like, I saw, where was it? In the New Yorker in 2021, they listed Lindsay Lohan as the 11th best performance of the 21st century for this movie.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a great performance. It's,
yeah,
it's a rare performance that she does have to kind of play the quote unquote, like, straight man. Yeah. To, like, everyone else, but she herself still has a lot of comedically gold moments, of pure absurdism and, like, craziness. But yeah, it's one of those really weird, like, balancing acts that I think only a really talented actor can pull off. And she does it. I mean, there are just, like, even, like, okay, because, like, the scene, I mean, I don't know why, but, like, out of all the, like, really quotable moments, my favorite is always, like, the ESPN bit. And it's not only just because of Amanda Seyfried, who is fantastic in this movie, but in her delivery of it, which is so fucking funny, because she's so perfect in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's because I forgot the exact line, but it's like, I can tell when there's going to be a storm. I can, like, feel it in my boobs. And it's funny when she says that, because she means it so sincerely. And, but then it's, like, also, like, Lindsay Lohan's, like, reaction to it. And she's, like, trying to reassure her that she's smart and that that's actually a gift. And, like, it's just, like, it's so, like, the back and forth, like, the camaraderie between the characters is so, like, seamless. Like, it's honestly so crazy to me that these people are not, like, real high schoolers and, like, real people, because the chemistry is, like, it doesn't feel like acting. Like, it doesn't feel like actors performing. Like, these are people that have, like, legit chemistry with each other. Like, it's really impeccable.
Yeah, and they were all, like, super young actors. Yeah. Like, this was, like, one of Rachel McAdams' first movies, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was in, like, The Hot Chick and, like, two other movies before this. The Notebook, right? The Notebook was, like, right after this.
Was it? Well, I thought it was 2003. Yeah.
No, both were 2004.
Okay.
Which, crazy ass year for her, huh? And I mean, Lindsay Lohan, we've known her since she was a child. I think this was I didn't do my research, sorry. I'm pretty sure this was one of Amanda Seyfried's first movies. Yeah, it was her first movie ever.
She's so good in this. She's first so movie. Funny. Yeah, I love her.
Rachel McAdams, okay, she's like probably one of the most talented actresses we have,
Yeah.
in general, and I love her so much, and she should be winning Best Supporting Actress at this year's Oscars for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
She's great in that movie. She's so good in that.
Yeah, I recently watched Red Eye for the first time. Literally one of the best movies I've ever seen.
She's great in that. Cillian Murphy too. He's
Her and Cillian Murphy.
R.I.P. Wes Craven. Great movie.
But yeah, I mean, in this, she's like scary. She is so good.
I mean, it really is like the that is I mean, we can talk about Lindsay Lohan all day and, you know, greatly so, because she's fantastic in the movie. We could talk about Amanda Seyfried, you know, like all this, or like all the, you know, main cast members are great. But Regina George is why you see any iteration of Mean Girls. She is not the main character, but she is the character, if that makes sense. And I mean, what is there to say about Rachel McAdams? Like, even aside from this movie, she's a fantastic actress. She's incredible in everything she's in. There's never been a performance I've seen from her where I'm anything but astounded by her ability. And she's in a lot of comedies, but when I remember when I saw Game Night, which is fantastic, and she gives just about the best performance in the movie because she's so committed to the bit, and she knows the assignment immediately. She is perfect in it. She like just the tone of that movie and her performance just sync. It's like it's insane when you watch that movie. And you know, watching that, I was just like, there needs to be more studio comedies, and they all need to have Rachel McAdams in them. Like, they all need to. But yeah, you're right. Like, watching this, and especially what you said, like, about it being one of her first performances, it's really truly unreal, because her like line delivery, her confidence, her like just like so matter of fact like persona is like, it's intoxicating, and you are like scared of her, because until the very end you're not sure how you feel about her as a person. I mean, that one line that Katie has about like, she's like, I have this weird thing where I hate Regina, but I also want to be loved by her. And it's just like, she sums that up so perfectly. Like, she embodies that line, and you understand it fully. Like, when Katie says it, you understand that performance entirely, because she has that quality in the performance, and it's so magnetic. She's fantastic.
Also, like, there are different ways that you can read this where what you said about like hating her but wanting to be loved by her. I feel like that's like a common theme in movies that are very like queer coded. And I have seen like queer readings of this movie, specifically like that like there was probably something between Regina George and what's her name? Shit.
Which one?
I'm like, oh, Janice.
Oh, Lizzie
That they,
Kaplan, yeah.
like when they were younger. And like it just like gives off that vibe, like the way that like Regina was like bullying her and things like that. And like the way that it was kind of like tiptoed around, like nobody wanted to talk about it. And Renee Rapp, who plays Regina George in the musical movie, she was like, yeah, Regina George, I just play her as a lesbian. And I'm just like, okay, she's like she just when she was acting, she was like, yeah, that's canon to me. So I think that's
That's
really
cool.
interesting to look at it from that perspective.
And I mean, I guess you, yeah, I mean, because especially that bit with like Janice at the end, where it's like, she like, I forgot the exact jokes, but she like throws that joke about Janice being a lesbian at her. And Janice is like, okay, yeah, you got me, Regina. I just have a big old lesbian crush on you. Like, I've always like thought of that line, because I was like, it's so funny that she like makes fun of Janice in that moment, because like, I do kind of, it's a lot like the oh god, what's it called? Bring It On. Yeah, with with that, like the with the queer text there. But I mean, not to, I would say Bring It On, I definitely got more of that. Because I mean, that's just very apparent in that movie. But this, I could definitely see it. Like I can see where people are getting that, and I'll definitely try to keep that in mind when watching the new one tomorrow. It's like, I don't know, I feel like no matter how you read the movie, or like how you, like whatever you want to gain from this movie, it's pretty perfect, like all around. Like I had it like at a 4 out of 5 originally on Letterboxd, but upon this rewatch I bumped it to like a 4.5, just because it's like that good. And I feel like the more time you go without rewatching it, you forget how good it is. And then you rewatch it again, and you're like, oh shit. Like, it's just, I mean, because you know, you remember the cultural significance, because we were all there. I mean, we all remember, like, what it did. Like, we were all there on Tumblr when it was quoted all the time. I feel like there was a 2016, 2015 era where, like, all the girls I knew did, like, Mean Girls Halloween costumes, you know? I remember at some point in high school for Spirit Week, there was a Mean Girls Day. Like, so the girls could, like, I don't know, dress like Regina George. Like, that was a thing at my high school. Like, it really does have, like, an insane amount of cultural significance. And, again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, it is kind of crazy that we haven't covered it yet. Although I do think it's good that we're covering it to coincide with the new movie. It's just, like, Jesus. I mean, I don't know. It's just, and especially with that new Walmart commercial that they did with the, I forgot who all is in it. I forgot if Amanda's in it, but I know like Lindsay Lohan and that one, Gretchen Wieners. I know they're in it.
Mm-hmm. It's also the 20th anniversary this year.
Yeah, I guess that, they're doing a Fathom event for this one, in like September or something, October. So I might try to do that if I can. But yeah, 20 years. Do you think we're going to get like another Mean Girls movie like every 20 years?
I mean, sure. They're going to make a movie they're going to make a movie about the like production of Mean Girls, the musical, the movie, where they like, I don't know if you were like following it, but they were like, oh shit, we need to make a movie. And they like rushed the production of it so fast because it was supposed to like go directly to Paramount Plus. And then they were like, no, it's actually going to get a theatrical release.
Yeah, that does, like, I read that about the Paramount Plus thing. And because I remember when it was in production that they were calling it a Paramount Plus original. And I was I don't know. I feel like anything that you tell me is a, unless it's like a Netflix movie, because I know they'll at least try to give it like some kind of theatrical window. Like if I hear that anything else is like a blank original, I'm just like, oh, so you don't care about it. Like, cool. Yeah. That's great. So it is interesting. I mean, although there have been like really instances where, you know, a movie starts as a streaming original and then it gets a theatrical run and it is quite good. Like that movie Smile that came out last year. I like that movie a lot, and it was, I believe, supposed to be a Paramount Plus original, and I think they were right to give that a theatrical push. So at least they're not, like, as bad as Zaslav, in that sense, like, where if they recognize that they have something good, they'll give it its due, you know? So that's pretty cool, but that is kind of crazy about this one, because even so, like, you know, just going back to the cultural significance, like you would think by name alone, you'd want to put a Mean Girls movie in theaters. Like, why would you even consider a straight to streaming Mean Girls musical? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I get that, you know, like we were talking about, like people don't like musicals, but it's still Mean Girls. Like, it's still marketable, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Like, I'm genuinely curious. I'm like, because the trailer has been like haunting me, I feel like. Like, I saw it for the first time, I think, in front of Eras Tour, maybe.
I think
was
so.
Was that when
yeah.
it premiered?
Yeah. I know that there was a trailer in front of that, and it was...
Yeah.
The crowd went crazy when I saw it. Like, they went
wild. It was literally just like, my name is Regina George, and then it's like, get in, loser, and it's like, coming soon.
Right.
But then the full trailer that had the Olivia Rodrigo song that, like, basically does not indicate that it's a musical in any way. Like, there are, like, clips of, like, musical sequences and stuff. I've seen it so many times, and I'm like, I'm a huge fan of musicals, and I feel like I take adaptations very personal. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, do you know about the Richard Linklater adaptation of Merrily We Roll Along that's coming out in 20 years?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, he's basically pulling another Boyhood, but now for 20 years instead of 12 years. The musical Merrily We Roll Along is in reverse chronological order and goes through an entire life of a friendship, like three best friends. And it starts with them all not friends, and you have to kind of like pick up the pieces in reverse order back to the first night that they met when they were in their 20s. So basically, Richard Linklater is filming it in real time with Beanie Feldstein, now Paul Mescal, and what the fuck is his name? Evan Hansen.
Oh, Ben Platt, yeah.
Yeah. So they're filming it in real time so that they don't need to use like de-aging or anything. And then he's going to like put it backwards. I saw it on Broadway last week with Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff. And I was like, I love this musical so fucking much. And if the movie is bad, and I really don't know if it'll be good, I'm going to be so angry.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's hard to like adapt a musical into a movie, I feel like, because musicals are so like big and like immersive. And I feel like one, like you can like, obviously movies are like big and immersive, but there's just something where like, I don't know, like something just like falls flat. Like, I feel like it takes a very specific director to capture the feeling of a musical. And yeah. I'm like scared that this is just gonna feel like TikTok dances, like not to like reduce Gen Z, but like.
No, I will. Yeah. No, I think I think Richard Linklater is I think he's a sure bet for that. Like he makes good movies. So if he's tackling the 20-year thing, I think he's gonna do it. Like, I think, you know what I mean. Like, I don't think he would go fuck it up like a 20-year project. So like, I believe in him, especially with apparently how good Hitman is. It seems like he's got his juice still. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't really know a lot about I know the basics, but I've never seen it, you know. So when did it start filming? Like 2018, 2019?
So yeah, it started filming 2019, but then because of COVID and because Blake Jenner was originally in the cast, and right. I'm not sure if he was convicted or accused, but he is abusive, so he was dropped from the project, and now Paul Mescal's in it. Very cool. Excited for Mescal to be in that. Yeah, it's like a really like experimental and weird structured musical. So I feel like it might be good, hopefully.
It probably will be. When did they start refilming it? Because like, when are we gonna get it?
It's gonna come out like mid 2040s.
That's fucking insane. That's like actually insane. And like, I hate to say it, but like, what happens if something happens to one of the main actors? Like,
that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, they already had to recast one of them, but dude,
come on. Yeah. I mean he did it with Boyhood, so like whatever, but like damn, like that's, I mean, hey, it's their choice, you know, like whatever. Yeah. I hope it's great. I hope it's good. But that just gives me so much like anxiety. Like the idea of like, how would you even, God, that just like scares me. Like,
Yeah, no, I know. It really, like, just thinking, like, I am excited, like, probably a movie that I am one of the movies that I'm the most excited for, like, that I know is in production, is coming out when I am almost 50 years old.
Oh shit. Jesus. No, fuck. No. Ew.
Sorry, sorry,
Ew.
sorry,
No. Boo.
sorry.
No, I don't like that. Yeah, that's gross. nah. Yeah.
Like, imagine
Wait,
being
hold on, Spencer
like,
Linklater.
oh shit.
Is he like 50?
I'm scared. I'm not gonna look.
I bet he's like 50 something. That's fucking crazy.
Is he in his 60s? I feel like he's in his 60s.
I think 50. I'm calling 50. But that's crazy.
Yeah, imagine being like middle-aged and like seeing, because it's in like reverse order, like the last shot is going to be like young Paul Mescal, like not de-aged, just young Paul Mescal. Like, imagine us being middle-aged, like, I remember when he looked like
That's
that.
fucking crazy. We'll see what their
I
kids will be like.
remember
They'll
when
be
he
like, okay,
dated.
grandpa.
When he dated Phoebe Bridgers and
They're
she
like,
left him for Bo Burnham.
the kids are like, uh-huh, okay, let's
Yeah,
leave.
pack it up. Pack it up.
Yeah, no, literally. God, that's gonna be so annoying. I mean, I remember I was even annoying when I was like 17 singing Boyhood, and I saw like the Game Boy Advance at the beginning, and I was like, oh. I'm like, he, my
Yeah.
dad's, I had those things in my room. Like, you know, like so I can only imagine what that'll be like in 20 years. But, yeah. So what the fuck is Tina Fey's excuse? Like we're getting, he's doing that, and what is she doing with this new fucking musical? Like, the
Yeah.
least experimental thing of all time. Who's directing the
Yeah,
new
one
musical
thing.
movie?
Okay, I literally was just gonna say they're first time directors. It's a directing
Oh,
duo. It is their first movie.
that's a red flag. Although it's getting good reviews, so
I
who
mean,
knows? But I
yeah,
mean,
I don't know. I mean, they could be cool. I don't know.
right? Do they have like a Broadway background or something, or like what?
Oh.
Or music videos, even?
Their website says it's a media project. I don't know. I'm a little confused, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, whatever. I mean, like I said, I'm going it open-minded for that. I did want to bring up, like, because I was going on the Wikipedia page, like I was going all the way down.
Yeah.
I saw something kind of funny because I feel like I knew about this to an extent, but I went to the It caught me by surprise because there's a I went through like cultural impact and sequels and musicals, but then something caught my eye, and there was a video game section on
What?
the Wikipedia page, and there was a Nintendo DS game for this movie, like 7 years after the movie came out, and yeah, if you Google it, just like Mean Girls video game, you'll see like screenshots from it. From what it seems like, it's like a weird adaptation of the movie, but you're trying, like, they add like little like arcade games and like random like puzzles and shit, like to like get it,
Oh.
like the narrative across. Like, it's kind of weird, but I just thought that
This
was funny.
looks, it looks exactly like the Hannah Montana DS game.
It does. It looks like a lot of those early 2000s, like, we have to make games for girls, and this is the games for girls in question. Like, it's just like
Yeah.
shitty. Like, I can only imagine that's what the Bratz DS game looked like in 2007 for the movie. Because I think you talked about that last when we did that pod. But yeah, or even like, I remember the one that I had as a kid was the Sweet Life one. And
Yeah.
it was so silly. Like, it was so stupid. but no, I thought that was funny because, like, that's when you know you've made it, is if they're just making like shitty DS games to like capitalize off your, name ability.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that's always funny.
I really miss that, like, movie tie-in video games, like, so much.
I do too. I mean, because it's interesting that you don't get any. It's not even like a Marvel thing. It's not like you don't get movie, because I know what you're talking about. It's not just like movie, because there are games like based off movies, but there's not like movie adaptation games anymore, or movie tie-in game, or like movie, like, it's not the same. Because, like, I remember, and I think, I mean, maybe for good reason, but I remember when, like, Spider-Man 3, I got that game, because I was so hyped, because the original Spider-Man 2 game of the Raimi movies was so cool. And I got the Spider-Man 3 PS2. I think that was still in the PS2 era, I think. Maybe PS3. But I remember there were, like, so many cutscenes in it. Like, you really did go into the movie, like, spoiled. Like, like, you just... I mean, I remember especially the biggest one is the Revenge of the Sith video game. And you can fully just watch the Mustafar stuff at the end in the video game. Like, they totally show you the Darth Vader shit at the end of the game. And it's before the movie comes out. Like, they just fully showed that shit. Like, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It was like epidemic. Like, you get fully spoiled. I remember when I got the Incredibles video game, they just showed the full bomb voyage scene. Like, at the beginning. Like, and I remember, like, being at the screening for that movie with my mom. And I'm like, I saw this, like, already. Like, I was just like, I've seen so many of these scenes already.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was very Z canon, where all the, like, old movie tie-in games. Another thing that I was talking about recently, and that's also on this page, is that there was, like, a novelization tie-in for this, like, a junior novelization for Mean Girls, which I find funny.
Of course.
That's another thing that's very Z canon. Like, you go to the Scholastic Book Fair, and there would be a junior novelization of a movie. Or even if you just went to, like, Walmart or something, and there would be, like, either in the book section, or sometimes, in my experience, they would be at the cash register. Like, little paperback adaptations of a book. I remember begging my mom to get me the Ghost Rider novelization in, like, 2007. And she got it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some really random novelizations. I had a SpongeBob graphic novel, based on the Krusty Krab pizza episode and the talent show one.
Those were like manga ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Zach Tony one. That was so weird.
I currently have one based on the movie Mermaids. And, like, the one with Cher and Bob Hoskins. And I think I have a Wayne's World one also. Those were both given to me as gifts.
That's cute.
Yeah, but let me see. I don't know. I can't get it out without, like, knocking over my whole bookshelf. But, yeah, speaking of books, like, I feel like as a kid, I was like, I've never heard of anybody reading the book that Mean Girls is based on. And then I realized it was, like, a self-help book for parents.
Oh. I didn't even know about
it.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. It's not based on, like, a YA book. Like, it's adapted from a nonfiction self-help book for parents of teenage girls.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, I would not have guessed that, but, like, now that you're saying it, it makes sense, because I guess, like, it's what, just, like, an adaption of, like, I guess Tina Fey, like, read it and then, like, spawned it into, like, a situational comedy or something.
Yeah, it's very strange that, like, I don't know, that, like, she considers it an adaptation, because I really wonder, like, what's in the book, if it's, like, right. I don't know, like, how books will give, like, examples, like, this person went here, what should they do? And, like, I really wonder if, like, that's what she adapted.
It kind of reminds me of how that, this is very niche, but, like, there's this movie that Adam Scott did called, it was called ACOD, and it stood for, like, Adult Children of Divorce, but it was, quote-unquote, based off of a real book with the same name. But the premise of the movie was that he got pissed at his parents because he found out that he was one of the studies of the book. And
oh my God.
He hates that, like, he is, like, I don't know, divorce trauma was, like, exploited for book sales, and he gets, like, pissed about that or whatever. This was, like, a long time ago, but yeah, it's just funny, like, how, I mean, it's a very, like, niche genre, I guess, but it, I guess it exists. Yeah
imagine, like, a book, like, adapted from, like, word problems, like math word problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna adapt the cool math games self-help book. All right. No, I think this it is kind of, I mean, I'd also be curious to, like, skim that book because I am curious to see what they drew from it, because again, though, like, this movie, and, you know, as someone that, you know, watched 30 Rock, that really, like, used to love, I mean, I still like Tina Fey, but, you know, I was really, like, you know, in the, I had, like, the niche in my teenage years of, like, loving SNL and watching, like, every NBC comedy, you know, and or as they would call it, the multi-camera comedies. You know, I didn't really watch the sitcoms, but, you know, I watched The Office and Parks and Rec and 30 Rock and all that jazz. And so I really did closely follow, like, a lot of, like, Tina Fey's, like, material. And, you know, every time I rewatch this, I'm just kind of blown away at how it really is, and so early in her career, too, a really perfect culmination of, like, what I consider to be her, like, comedic voice. Because it's just such a, like, filled to the brim, like, full of ideas and, like, nuances and, like, I don't know. Because I feel like all of her movies, even the worst ones, like, I think she wrote this movie, but that movie, like, Baby Mama, that she with Amy Poehler, which is the canon. I mean, it's definitely a movie that I saw at a young age, but it's not very good, but it does have, like, a lot to say about, like, you know, perception and, like, you know, womanhood and, like, all that stuff, and it's interesting, but I don't know. This one just feels like the most,
I mean... Like, I read her memoir at, like, a really young age, Bossy Pants, and that was, like, one of my favorite books, like, even before I, and I was, like, a huge SNL kid, obviously, like, I feel like, and, like, maybe this is a generalization, and it's just me, like, projecting, like, what my life was like, kids who were theater kids that weren't talented at singing or dancing or being on stage, they were SNL kids.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I mean, I was a theater kid, but I really loved SNL, and to be fair, and I think we've talked about this on the pod before, like, every generation says that their generation has the best SNL cast, but, like, I don't know, the 2010,
I think we did,
like, we really did, like, to be there, to experience, like, Bill Hader with Seth Meyers, with Sudeikis and Rudolph and Wig. Oh my God, the fucking Lonely Island. I mean, like, I'll never forget how, like, magical it was to, like, watch, like, the 2010 to, like, 2013 seasons, like, live moment. And then, yeah, you could just randomly expect to see a new Lonely Island song drop every Saturday night. And, like, it's just, like, it's magical. Like, it really was, like, great.
Yeah.
And,
listen, like, I have been to many concerts in my day. Seeing the Lonely Island live in concert, I have never experienced more happiness than I have that night. Like, that was, like, I'm not even joking, the greatest night of my life, singing just all of it.
I would love that.
Like, on a rooftop in New York City, like,
God, is there a vinyl for the Lonely Island? Because I kind of want to get that, if there is.
Okay. There's, they have, like, really good packaging for the Popstar soundtrack. Like, because it's all, like, the Connor For Real, like, weird album art. I'm sure they've pressed, like, Turtleneck and Chain on vinyl, but...
It's so good.
Yeah, I love them so much. Like, I'm not even joking, like, I think Popstar and the Michael Bolton Valentine's Day special and the Bash Brothers, I Bash don't Brothers think I great. Laugh harder at anything else in my whole life.
I mean, this The Lonely Island too, like very, very, very formative for me, like super, like, yeah. I mean, I do feel like the Winter Soldier anytime one of those songs plays, like I'm like,
yeah,
I wake up, I like sing along, like, yeah, self-proclaimed free thinkers, yeah, when the Lonely Island plays. So I mean this film, I feel like this movie does like fit into that catalog of like formative 2000s comedy pieces that, like, I don't know, like, it did, whether you are aware of it or not, does, like, I don't know, kind of enable,
establish it, your personality and sense of humor.
I mean, I guess I can't say the same for me because I saw it so late in life, but I feel like a lot of people have that in this regard, you know. Yeah. I mean, I definitely credit those kind of like, for me, those movies were like, I don't know, like the Seth Rogen comedies and like, yeah, the Lonely Island, like just watching that on YouTube before I even watched SNL and stuff like that. But like, I can definitely see like why, especially like what you're saying, like with it playing on ABC Family, you know, like young girls or boys too, probably, were like watching this movie and like were laughing at it. And then they grew up to like have a sense of humor like this movie. And
yeah,
I don't know, I think that's cool. Like, I'm glad that it was like accessible. Cause like, I mean, this is like, I mean, there's a lot of cursing in it and it isn't like, it's not a clean movie, but it's not necessarily a movie I'd be like terrified to show my kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like in a weird middle ground there where it's like, it's not offensive, but it's not like, I don't know, like it's just good. I don't know what to say. Like,
it has an edge, like, yeah, I don't want to say it's like edgy, but it has an edge. And I think something that I really like about the movie is that everybody in it, like, nobody in it is like a good person. And I think it's like really realistic in that way, in that like everybody has like a meanness in them, and
yeah,
it's like how you like kind of like deal with it and how you like cope with the world. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I no, and I agree, and I think that's why I like the ending of it so much. Of like, also on the flip side to that, everyone has like positive qualities, and like,
yeah,
especially like when she's like, you know, kind of like when she like tears apart the tiara and she's like, she has to say something nice about every person, like every girl there. It does have like a, I forgot, that is one thing I forgot about watching this movie, was how much of like a feminist message it has, but also like it really much does like poke fun at like how, I guess, like hopeless it feels to like be like so advocating for it, because like it's really funny when Tina Fey's character is like trying to get all the girls to like listen to her and they're just like not about it, like at the beginning of the speech. And I don't know, I think that's, it's a really funny bit, but it ends up working really well. And I don't know, that just kind of goes to how good, again, the writing is. It just, it finds that kind of perfect balancing act.
Yeah, I don't know. I literally all my notes are just like, I wrote quotes from the movie. That's all I did.
I mean, it's like, it's perfect. I mean, like, all the quotes, like you could spend the whole pod just like quoting the movie. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I did, like, I remember 2014, 2015, at some point in high school, like, I cannot tell you how many candy grams happened, or candy cane grams happened in my classes, and it would be to Glen Coco, you know what I mean? Or like from Glen Coco, it would be like to like Sam from Glen Coco or something, you know what I mean? And just like, I don't know, like, it's so like definitive, and it's so just timeless. It really is. Where like I don't like the idea of a reboot or anything, it doesn't diminish this one at all.
Yeah, I have to wonder, like, so I think kids are still watching this. But I'm like, the target audience for the new one, is that like just theater kids, or like are kids still interested in this? I think they probably are, right?
I mean,
because
we need to like interview like a young Gen Z one day.
Why don't we do that? I feel like every single week we're like, do kids care about this? And we never like I tried to get my little brother on the mic to talk about like Kung Fu Panda or something, and he just, before we started recording, he's like, yeah, definitely. Or some Madagascar or something, I don't know. Before we started recording, he's like, yeah, definitely. And then I was like, do you want to come on the mic? And he was like, no. Like,
yeah, they have a fear of voicing opinions.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know a lot of, I mean, clearly I don't know a lot of young Gen Z kids. The youngest I know is like, God's sister, but she's like, I don't know, even she's like pushing 20 at this point. And like, I know she's seen this movie. I don't know if she has any interest for the new one. But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of it is like, I hate to ask, but like, I wonder how much of it is, did they see the movie or did they see TikTok clips of the movie? Like,
yeah.
And that, like, I think, and that's not me trying to be like TikTok bad, but that does like scare me that, like, I don't know. It's not like they just see the clip of the thing, not they don't experience the full experience, which, like, yeah. Like, that's so sad to me. But I'm making up a situation in my head. Who knows?
I could also see there being a draw to this movie, like the original. Well, yeah, the 2004 one. I could see there being a draw to this movie because it's like, I feel like Y2K fashion is so in now. And just like pink, sparkly, like, because like the costumes in this movie are genuinely very good, and I've seen a lot of complaints about the costumes in the new movie because they're just very generic 2020s, and it's just like, do you want them to be dressing like the kids in Euphoria? Like, what do you want from this movie? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not very like fashion, like articulate or anything, but I have seen like the discourse around that, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do like that about this movie, is that it does feel very like, I mean, I don't know, I feel like it really nails the 2000s aesthetic without even trying, obviously, because it's just from that era. But like, I honestly can't really think of another movie that, I don't know, like, just embodies what that culture of like fashion was like. Because like, every outfit in this movie is a fucking choice. But that's how it was to like go to the fucking mall in 2000s and like 2005 or 2004 or whatever. Like, that's what people just like wore all the time. And it's like so funny. But also, this movie doesn't like have that gross 2000s like feel. Because sometimes you watch an early 2000s movie and it just feels like gross because you're like, oh, it's so like old and like so like, I don't know, the cringe. Like, it's just a cringe, and like the haircuts are always bad. Like, when I watch, like, the earlier Saw movies, like, and I see some of those fuck-ass bobs, I'm like, oh, God. But I don't know. But something about Mean Girls, it's just, like, every layer of it is just so, like, nicely presented. It's very, like, I don't know. It's nice to look at.
Yeah. It's, it ages like fine wine.
That's perfect.
And I mean, it doesn't feel like a period piece either. Like, it just feels so relevant all the time. Like,
yeah.
Like, literally me looking at the release date and being like, my little brother was 1 year old when this movie came out. Like, I was in like first or second grade. Like, it feels like this movie came out like yesterday.
Yeah, like, I think that makes me make sense of why I never saw it at a young age. I saw it, I was in first grade when it came out. That's fucking crazy. Like, I was watching, I was on Letterboxd recently. One of my friends, like, logged this, and she said, I watched this with my, like, little sister, and I was scared because she was quoting the movie, despite the fact that she had never seen it. but she was gagged Regina George getting run over by the bus at the end. So she's like, I'm glad there was like one surprise left in the movie for her.
Yeah. Listen, I still like it's I always so forget. Funny.
It's brutal too. Yeah. It happens so
And her fast. Mom is there. Her mom is there. It happens in front of her.
It's so, by the way, Amy Poehler's like little bit in this movie is so fucking funny. I love her. She's so good. I do remember the first time I saw them. I had the same experience where like I saw so many of the like funny bits on Tumblr before seeing this movie. And when I watched it, I mean, much like you were saying earlier, like a lot of the like little lines is what like makes it so worth it. It makes it so funny. But that bus scene, like the first time I saw it, I'm pretty sure like I screamed. Like I like did not at all. I genuinely thought she died at that moment. Like I fully believed it. I was like, holy shit. Like so I love that the movie does that. And I'm curious how they even do it in the new one, but it's really a great moment. It's so funny. And then like especially like everything, you know, after that too, like with her in the like in the neck thing and like being praised that like she has like the hospital bed in the living room and like everyone's there with her. It's such a good moment.
Yeah.
I also like how it ends with her like channeling her rage into like what is it, like rugby or something, or like soccer? Yeah,
she's playing like field hockey.
Field hockey.
Or something. Yeah. Or like lacrosse. I think that's really funny because it's just like the school is so like divided up into all these cliques. And like I said before, it's like everyone has this like meanness in them or whatever, but it's just like how they choose to like channel it. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny that like, also it's like when they were like going around in the auditorium, like all the girls being like, talk about like conflict that you have with another person, and like the conflict in each individual clique is like, one of them was like talking about like the softball girls were like talking about like pitching or whatever, and then like I don't know, like it's just like it's funny how it's just like kind of like how you channel your energy and angst and stuff is kind of like what makes you who you are and where you fit in.
I mean, like Katie has to like learn to not go down to their level and like kind of be kind of like selfless, and Jen George has to learn how to like find a way to release the anger and not passive aggressiveness and not making everyone's lives miserable. Like I don't know, it's just like it is really nice without feeling overtly sappy or like overtly like preachy. Like it does have like a very like pro, because I mean there's so many movies today that are like made with a feminist ideology in mind, and not that I particularly mind it at all, but I feel like social media like clowns on these movies so heavily because of how like overtly they like express its message, which I mean I'm not against like earnestness in movies, but like people really, you know, push back on that stuff. But there's something about Mean Girls, by the time they get to that point at the end where like all the girls are like doing like the trust fall and they're all like supporting each other, it like it feels like the only logical outcome, because especially because like the scene prior is them having an all-out war in the high school, which is so when fucking Tim Meadows is on the baseball bat, it's so fucking funny. I giggle at that every fucking time I watch it. He goes, "Oh hell no!" And he grabs the baseball bat. It's so good.
There is truly nobody like him. He's so like good. Seeing him and just hearing his voice makes me so fucking happy. And some of his lines in this movie, like, I'm like, I would put them on par with, like, his lines in Popstar.
Like, he's so good in Popstar. He's so good in that movie.
Like,
he's a goat. He's great. He's a silent like, MVP in everything.
In every movie, sometimes I just think about like, oh, some of my favorite movie quotes, and it's like, oh, it's literally just all like things that Tim Meadows has said.
Tim Meadows is like, he's really incredible. I mean, and the thing is, he's in a lot of like dog shit movies too, but he's always funny in them. Like, the grown-ups mm-hmm. movies he's so funny in. Like, that god-awful Rob Schneider movie, The Binge Warmers, that I loved when I was a kid. He is so goddamn funny in that movie that it makes it, like, him and John Lovitz are, like, both so fucking funny in that movie. It's, like, insane.
Yeah.
Semi-pro. I'm, like, looking at his, he was in Mean Girls 2 as the principal. The same principal. That's the only canonical connection there, I believe.
Oh my god,
I'm like looking at his like filmography right now. There's so many of these that I have logged, and it's just like ridiculous that he's so good in these movies. He was in Dream Scenario, wasn't he, recently? I forgot about that. We always love seeing Tim Meadows, and I'm glad I get to see him in the new one, because he's one of the kind.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to end up watching, like, Popstar or something before I fall asleep tonight.
Definitely. Victoria's never seen it. I gotta rectify that.
Oh my god.
It's so good. Sometimes I think about the seal bit. Yeah. I just, like, die. Like, I just, like...
It's fucking funny.
I literally do play Bin Laden, the song, at least, like, once a month. Like, It's so good.
Yeah.
It's an impeccable piece of art.
Yeah. Literally, like, the ending song makes me genuinely tear up, like, Incredible Thoughts, when they're like, when Connor for real is, this is just going to be, the rest of the episode is just going to be about Popstar 2016, okay, because this is one of my favorite movies ever. When Connor for real is out on stage at the VMAs, and you really think that he's going to be performing by himself, and then you hear, "I'm a style boy for life," and then the rest of them come out, it literally, like, genuinely, and then Michael Bolton comes out, I tear up. It's beautiful.
It's a great movie. It's a perfect movie, dare I say.
Maybe SNL's good.
Maybe. All I'll leave you with is, to the listeners, the best line written, the best chorus ever written in a song is, "You're harboring a fugitive, that ass, and my justice would be punitive. I'm a smash." It's so fucking good.
No, there's an even better line. Wait.
SEAL Team 69's executing the hit.
No, there's Finest Girl Bin Laden's. Anyone who hasn't seen Popstar is probably so confused. Here it is. Okay, this girl requested intercourse to bring her to climax with the clinical efficiency of the assassination of Bin Laden.
The music video is also so funny too, because they're visualizing all this stuff, and it's so funny. Perfect movie. Perfect formation. I would agree that Mean Girls and Popstar are two of the best comedies ever made, and we should respect both of them so heavily.
I'm literally just reading the lyrics to the song.
It's so good. I do listen to that song like once a week, and I'm not kidding. Like, I just like think about it, and put it on Spotify. It's great.
Yeah.
One
thing I'm gonna say about Mean Girls, I kind of love that it's a TikTok meme, but the like one like guitar riff that plays, whenever anyone's like in like deep thought in this movie,
it's so funny. Yeah,
I think that's so funny.
It's great.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's very 2004, but it's gorgeous. I love it. I mean, perfect movie. It's another one of those movies that's great, and there's almost not a lot to say because it's so good, but it's worth talking about because it is that good, and it's worth reminding people that it's not just like a popular movie. It's actually a fantastic movie.
Pretty perfect.
I would agree with that. It's pretty perfect. Can't wait to see the new one. Can't wait to go see the musical tomorrow. So I'm going open-minded, though, you know, like if it works, it works. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, I'm not going in as a hater.
Yeah, you know, I always make the mistake when there's like a remake coming out or like a reboot or something. I always make the mistake of watching the original one right before. So then I'm constantly comparing it to the original one. So I really hope that doesn't happen with Mean Girls.
Yeah, I did have that fear after I finished this, but I mean, hey, that's the game they play though when they remake a movie. Like you don't want it compared, you can't remake it. You know what I mean? So it's on them, really. But whatever. I mean, I'll be there. I'll be there open-minded. Yeah, I mean, is that it?
I think so.
Okay, well the I mean, God, I feel like there's even so much being covered, the plastics, the burn book. I mean, God, there's just so much shit. I mean, it's so fucking good. Lizzie Caplan, and what's the, I forgot who plays the gay best friend. I forgot his name, but the actor, he's so good in this movie. God, everyone. You could give like an Oscar to everybody involved.
When he says, "I will cancel your spring fling, but I can't. We already paid the DJ." That's a good one. Or, "I will keep you here all night. We can't keep them past 4. I will
You
keep
will
you
be
here
here
until
for
4."
4. It's so good. It's so good. There's definitely like
We could literally just be sitting here quoting it back and forth for hours.
you could quote like I wish you could quote like the facial expressions in this movie, because when when she's like she's giving her like the protein bar, and she's like I forgot what the exact wording is, but she's like, it's in Swedish. She's like, I thought you were from Africa. Do they speak Swedish in Africa? She's like, yeah. Like, it's just an elaboration, like Adam's like little face before she takes a bite is like so funny. God, it's just incredible. I love this movie so much. It's going on the roster again. I'm gonna watch it again like within the next year, because I loved it so much this time. I was watching it
I
while working
completely
today.
forgot. I wrote one note. This was the first note that I wrote at the beginning of the movie, like when it was like giving exposition about her living in Africa. I said, "Katie Heron's parents were researching spiders in the Amazon with my mother right before she dumped
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm so glad that that movie is coming out. Madam Web, that is, for anyone that isn't chronically online. In Valentine's Day weekend, because that's my anniversary weekend as well. That's right. I bagged it on Valentine's Day weekend. What's up, guys? And I'm going to the drive-in to go see that movie that weekend, so I can just
Nice.
laugh like a fucking idiot during it. Because dear God, does that movie look terrible? Like, what is Sony doing? What are we doing, guys? Come
I'm
on.
so excited.
It looks so bad. But I'll be there. I'll be there like a good little boy. All right. Well, you guys can follow me at the Madam Web showing at the drive-in on Valentine's Day weekend, and you can follow me on Twitter at Adam_NotSandler, Letterboxd. As for like other podcasts and websites, I'll just plug that next week, because I'm doing some stuff right now, so I'll plug next week when I'm ready to do that.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at garlic emoji. You can follow us on Twitter at Zillennial Canon, on Instagram at the Zillennial Canon. Give us some ratings, some reviews, and watch Mean Girls if you haven't, especially if you haven't in a few years, because you're in for a treat.
It's incredible. Buy plastics.
By plastic. I feel like, wait, I feel like our listeners are the sexually active band geeks or
Sexually.
whatever they're called. All right, bye guys.
Bye.